So glad to see you all tonight. My lesson tonight is about virtue. We may have different pictures of ideas of what virtue means, but I would like to study how virtue relates to our Christian battle, how it's helped us to be strong, to endure more and more pressures so that our endurance have no limits. So let's begin in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God tells us exactly what qualities that we need to be getting. Also, this is a pattern for us to grow in Christ's heart. So tonight we will look at one of these specific qualities, what it means to add virtue to our faith, and how we can do that. So literally, virtue means manliness. The word is coming from male, someone who is stronger for lifting. So virtue means we need to be stronger like a man in our hearts. So what is spiritual strength in scriptures? So you know all what that means. That means qualities of heart of Christ. So how much of each good qualities have we grown in? That's how much strength we have. Why do we need to be strong like men? It seems like this picture is talking about a spiritual battle. Paul is encouraging Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch you and stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. In a spiritual battle, we need to be strong like men. We need spiritual strength for physical fight. We need a physical strength for physical fight. Likewise, we need a spiritual strength for spiritual fight. So how much strength do we have right now? How able are we right now to do best job in each battle that we face each day? As a Christian, what are some of the daily battles that each of us are facing right now? So how much of each qualities of Christ do we have right now that makes us to do better in our daily battles? So question is, how can we get more strength? So let me remember Christ in his crucifixion time. How hard the battle for him. When time he arrested that he didn't sleep at all, and he was hanging on the cross with severe pain with 6 hours. So how hard it would be if we are in that situation, enduring that pain for 6 hours with no sleep. So we know what happens if we wake up some people from the sleep in the mornings, right? So what are you all thinking about Christ when he was have no sleep and he was hanging on the cross for 6 hours with severe pain? So how much limit Christ has that this is enough, that it's not, that I can't bear, this is too much for me? What God tell in Philippians chapter 2 verse 8. So, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of cross. So Christ was obedient to God even till death. So Christ has no limits that this much he won't endure, this much I won't endure. So even he endured the cross, that showed that there was nothing that would make Christ say, this is too much, this is past my limit. So this shows how much he loved Father and also us. If I set my limit, I'll lend you this much, but no more. How much love do I have toward God and his children? Are we going to be like the ground that can't bear the sun? Like in Matthew 13, verses 20 to 21. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and on with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Which ground will we be like? The ground which endures for a while, but quits when it gets too hot? Let's see some example from book of Jeremiah. We can see throughout the book of Jeremiah how God helped Jeremiah to grow in each chapter. Yeah, we can see a lot of Israelites' heart in that book too. But mainly that we could see how God trained Jeremiah in each chapter with him to encourage and to be strong like a man. You know, in chapter 1, when God called Jeremiah to be a prophet, Jeremiah said, "Oh no, I'm a child. I can't handle this. This job is beyond my limit." But God helped him to pass that limit. Then see what happened in chapter 12. What Jeremiah is saying in chapter 12. In Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 1 to 4, "Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you, yet let me talk with you of your judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that dealeth with treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yeah, they have taken root. They grow, yeah, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins, but thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the shelter and prepare them for the day of shelter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of the every field wither? For the wickedness of them that dwelleth therein, the beasts are consumed, and the bread and the birds, because they said, he shall not see a last end." See, in these verses, Jeremiah is complaining to God. He says in verse 1, "I know you are righteous, but let me talk with you about your judgment." He said, he is complaining how the wicked are prospering. Even though he is doing right, but things are getting harder for him. But for the wicked, everything's happening smoothly. He had gotten tired from this working with this job, with these people. He is feeling like, "I can't do anymore." He's asking God to kill these people, like a sheep for a shelter. What God is answering in him in verse 5. "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have weared thee, then how canst you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trusted, they weary thee, then how will you do in the swelling of Jordan?" God said, if you can't run with the footmen, how will you run with the horses? So what did that show Jeremiah that God planned for him? God planned for Jeremiah to face even bigger temptations than this. So far he had been suffering with Jews only, by just preaching his words. But next he's going to start suffering from the governments, from King Zedekiah and the princes. Things are going to get harder and harder. What is God telling here? Jeremiah, this should not be a limit. You need to get past your limits. You need to go beyond your limits. So Jeremiah had a limit, how much he wanted to suffer, how much he don't want to suffer. But God's plan didn't want to go more than what he had minded for. So see what happens in the next 8 chapters in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7. Hear what Jeremiah is complaining to God. "O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and has prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me." What is complaining about God? He said, "You deceived me." Jeremiah is almost sinning over here. He's saying, "God, you deceived." So Jeremiah had been suffering from the day he started to preach. People are laughing at him for his lessons. Isn't it a tough situation? How do you feel like when you're teaching, people are laughing for your teaching? Just not happen one day, it's happening daily. So he said right now that I can't go anymore. I want to quit my job. He's almost resigning his job. So in verse 9, what God says, still Jeremiah is talking in verse 9, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and was weary with forbearing and could not stay." Jeremiah wants to stop preaching, but he can't stop. He had set his limit for himself. "I'm only willing to suffer this much for the Lord's sake, not beyond this." But God is helping him to get past this limit. Okay, let's see now in Jeremiah 37 what Jeremiah's situation is right now and what Jeremiah is doing over here. In Jeremiah 37, "And it came to pass," from verse 11 to 16, "And it came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin, to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. And when he saw in the gate of Benjamin a captain of ward was there, whose name was Urijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Ananiah, and he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'Thou fallest away to Chaldean?' Then said Jeremiah, 'It is false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans.' But he hearkened not to him. So Urijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Before the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in the prison in the house of Jordan the scribe. For they had made the prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days." So they brought Jeremiah before the princes, and they smote him and put him in the prison, and he finally ended up with the dungeon. He stays there for many days. Was Jeremiah complaining now? He was complaining now that you deceived me. We can see that Jeremiah grows to the point is willing to suffer for God's sake, no matter if he dies. Same thing is happening in Jeremiah 38, verse 6. "Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchi, the son of Hemelech, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water, but myrrh. So Jeremiah sunk in the myrrh." So this dungeon had no water, but myrrh. And Jeremiah sank in the myrrh. How would he feel about that? He was just can't bear when people are laughing at him when he's preaching, but now he was going to die. He was sinking in the dungeon. He's suffering for God's sake right now, with no limits, no complaining. Before he was complaining about what God was doing to him, but now he's not complaining. He's just accepting whatever God did to him. So we can see how from the examples of Jeremiah, first he had a limit to how much he was willing to suffer. But now, as God said, he was running with horsemen, huge temptations. He was sunk in the mirror for 30 days. If he continued to stay in that, he would die. So see how much Jeremiah had grown in virtue. So how much suffering he had learned to endure. So what would we do in Jeremiah's situation? So no matter what temptation is God is allowing us, is we need to remember that God is being with us. He's not left Jeremiah alone. He was alone. One time his family is against him. Just he was alone, preaching for all the millions of peoples of Jews. So no matter who is leaving or giving struggling to us, we need to remember that the God is being with us and helping us to learn. So he is the one who is bringing this many situations to Jeremiah that he could learn more and more his heart and get more strength. So when God is giving hard temptation in our life, let we not be weird and be discouraged with that. Let we have the courage to go more, that because God is being with us and training us to get more strength. So Job is also another example in Job chapter 1. You know what happened to Job in Job chapter 1. His children were killed, his property was lost, everything was gone. It's nothing. So he's thanking God for this, for all that what God took away from him. How hard would it be in Job's situation? How many of us willing to lose our jobs and say, thank you God for that? We need to say it like that, but how many of us willing to lose our jobs? So who is taking away all the property from Job? See what happened in Job chapter 30 verse 1. But now they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose father I would have disdained to have set them with dogs of my flock. So yes, Job is talking in chapter 30 verse 1. He was denying some people to sit them beside his dogs. But the same people was mocking at Job about his situation. So even in this situation, though, that Job complained why God is just doing this to him. You can see from all the chapters from 1 to 30, Job didn't make any complaint to God. Just he thanked you God for what you did to him. So see what happens in, for another example, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 to 30. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 to 30. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants, for he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh to death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, now regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. So you can see Epaphroditus, that he had a sick that he want, that close to his death. Did he say that, oh, I'm sick, I can't do anymore? He didn't let sickness to be his limits. Maybe sometimes people using their sickness and today saying, oh, I'm not feeling good today, I'm not coming to church. Oh, my head is hurting, I can't read my Bible. Here's the man who is close to death. What he's doing in verse 30. He was in that situation, he's not regarding his life. He want to fulfill the supply to Paul instead of this Philippians. So how many of us have that kind of strength or limits in our sicknesses, in our situations? He served Paul without stopping, not caring of his sickness. So what Jesus said in John chapter 9:4, he said, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day, that night comes when no man can work. So Jesus is working before the night comes. You know what his night is referring over here is death. So Jesus is working hard before the death comes. After death, we can't work no more. So we need to decide that before we leave this world, that how much strength that we are going to get the battles we are facing daily. You know, in Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 31 to 39, We can see the Paul's manliness, the strength, the virtue he had. It's a familiar scripture for you all, so we can read from verse 31 to 39. What shall we say then, say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He had spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all, us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as a sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So now, of these sufferings stopped Paul from loving Christ? How much are we willing to obey God's commandments when we are in the tribulations or distress or persecutions or famine, nakedness, peril or sword? We are just complaining on just small situations which is happening in our lives and complaining, I can't do this. See what Paul did. He, no matter what he's tempted or what he's suffering on, he said he can't separate from. Nothing can separate from Christ's love. So it's saying, I love Christ this much, but not anymore. Say, I want to end it this much, not anymore. It's just, Paul shows his love toward Christ by how much he is suffering. So we can show our love that how much we are suffering by daily. If we want to set our limits, but I want to suffer this much, and how much love I have toward the Christ. You see, so far the Christ and Jeremy and Joe, like Paul, they didn't set their limits on their situations which is happening in their life. No matter what happens, they still love Christ and obey his commandments, and also God. Let us not keep our limits on ourselves, but our limits on God. By this, we can show how much we love God.